Padre, en tu valor y en tu Dios, y tu Padre. Que van a ser las mujeres a todas las mujeres, que tú me lleves en casa. Oh, que tú me lleves en casa, que tú me lleves en casa, que tú me lleves en casa. Y ya de eso, que tú me lleves en casa, que tú me lleves en casa, que tú me lleves en It is Christmas to know this backdrop to hear the part of John the Baptizer. He began by presenting the name of the contemporary secular ruler as religious leader. Now, there, of course, is the Emperor of Rome. The next four individuals are those who were ruling the four divisions of Palestinian territory into which the realm of Herod the Great had been divided. The religious leader, the high priest, was legally political, but the power in reality was from the influence of him. Not only is this purpose as a historian to visit with the rules of John the Baptist, he also, as a theologian, confronts the power to recognize on a human level with the supreme power of the universe, the Word of God. As we can try, the brilliant, private, and the other rulers have some authority, limited in time and space. The full authority is blessed by the supreme authority of the Word of God, which seems to be generous. God's word is represented far superior to those of human rulers, even though it is proclaimed in the wilderness rather than from his death. Now, this summarizes the message of God proclaimed to John in the phrase, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. While other evangelists describe the growing breadth and high being habits of John, Luke emphasizes the novelty of John's message. To order a baptism of repentance to Gentiles before becoming converts to the Hebrew religion was the usual thing. But to suggest to the sons of Abraham that they were unclean and in need of ceremonial cleansing is unheard of. The people of Israel could point to their heredity, where they fell, and were confident of God's favor since he had brought them out of Egypt and given them the full life. Perhaps the locals had gone to John's bed and his message was an odd or his apparent view. Furthermore, this place in the wilderness clearly was aimed at all people and all classes. All flesh shall see the salvation of God, he immediately says. All takes an Abraham, if necessary, should be given to life with God, they say. The voice was addressed to tax collectors, who were considered certain objects, and to soldiers, who may have been lawless, but certainly were not Jews. What is your God's chosen people with blessing with his life? That is, the coming of God's salvation entails also the coming of God's judgment, which may encompass also the descendants of Abraham. So the word of God through John comprised both law and gospel, and demanded proof of repentance. It is important to note that when John speaks of repentance, he does not mean repent in order that the kingdom of God may come, but because it has come. God gave things before and is weak. It is not earned through repentance. That we are able to repent is in itself a work of great grace. By ourselves, we will know the company without faith. And faith is the work of the Holy Spirit. But where true repentance is present, there the gospel is the change of forgiveness, gospel can be the scene of a completed redemption. Furthermore, John's quotation in Isaiah 40:3-5 presents an excellent example of the stopping method of interpreting interpretation. There's always a new testament of unity. Unfortunately, this article has suffered much better. When a fundamentalist reads about John the Baptist calling himself a voice in the wilderness, he sees the words for no more than what they say, namely that John happened to be out in the desert. He fails to grasp the interconnection between this description of John and what happened in the Exodus. Back in the days of Moses, the old Israel was created by passing through the waters of the Red Sea, and then obeying the voice from Mount Sinai in the wilderness. In calling himself a voice in the wilderness, John the Baptist was implying that the time for the creation of a new Israel was at hand, and that it was just coming into being in the wilderness by water and the word, the cross to the quotation. Yes, the new Israel, the church, was created through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Today, the plan of the new Israel, the church, remains the same, to carry out the Great Commission. Yesterday, Christians received their assignment, and graduating students received their first call. It is necessary for them in particular and for all of us in general to emulate the voice in the wilderness and the nurture and the growth of their new vision. The message is the same word of God that came to John in the wilderness. In this world is our all superior to that of any secular ruler. The message must include all the counsels of God, which love as well as his nation, the law together with the gospel. The message is for all nations and for all classes of people. The church is in various situations with joy and sorrow, success and failure. Since the power is in the world and suffering, it is important to remember that it is God who blesses. The metaphor says that human beings made it plant and water, while God is the empty. May all of us, in our planting and watering, be faithful to the word of God, the same as the voice in the wilderness. Amen. We rise for the suffrages on page 270.